from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be there in an hour,
coming in the band shoes. Well, I guess I've committed to this already, thinking that this NFL preseason would be more interesting than most, if not all, for many years. It is interesting how teams are playing week three. Like right there in Zach's update, Russell Wilson. I got the obligatory press release email from NBC. They're showing, they're carrying Washington, New England Sunday night. Tarico Collinsworth, week three of the preseason, which is better put as the last week of the preseason.
The end of the preseason.
The end, the literal last game of the preseason will be this New England-Washington game. And the press release I got an hour ago says, Drake May versus Jaden Daniels. They must know.
Ooh. I don't know. Do they? I would expect May to play. But
same.
Daniels has been named the starter.
He's still a rookie.
Yeah, I know. But dang.
I think they have to know. I bet they even sort of agreed to it before any of this happened, that Washington and New England would both play their rookies. For that to get a Sunday night game.
Oh, I don't believe that at all.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, we'll never know.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. They're not going to tell us, you know, and he may play or may not, but we'll know that they didn't agree to it if he doesn't play, I guess. So we will get an answer that way. If he plays, we won't know if they were, you know, forced to play him because it's going to be on Sunday night football.
By the way, it's bothering me, and it's too early for this to be taking shape. It's bothering me that there's May and Mayo. Like every time I see a Mike Giardi tweet about the Patriots,
I know.
I don't know if the quarterback is talking or if the coach is talking.
That has happened to me a few times.
May and Mayo is bad.
It's helpful.
Take the E off.
Right.
At least.
It's helpful if there's video. You know, like if the tweet is accompanied by a picture and there's, you know, the coach standing there, I know what the two men look like, to some extent anyway. So I don't get, but yeah, any text, anything without a picture, I'm like, what was that about? I do get.
I fell for that today. Why is Drake May talking about who the quarterback should be? That's not a question
yeah,
for
that's
him.
That's weird.
Oh,
yeah.
It was the coach. Yeah. Mayo is the name of the
why
coach.
Why is Drake May talking about whether Drake May is ready to handle a huddle? Well, I guess he could get asked that question anyway. Drake May would. Probably has been asked that question. But yeah.
How are you feeling today versus yesterday?
You mean like how sad I was yesterday kind of about the Bills?
Vibes.
Vibes, yeah. Well, I did have... I had a positive... what could be a reactionary... thought on the way in today about them that would be definitely not considered sad or depressed or negative. And
you
it
thought
was,
of the Tyndale game? Is that what happened? You sort of had a flashback?
Not today. No, you know what I thought I was thinking about on the way in today is maybe Joe Brady will be really good at this.
Okay.
What's with the sound?
It's my day to be negative.
Okay.
My turn.
All right, fine.
It's my turn.
But maybe he'll be really good at this. Like, even
do you think he will?
I just think he could be. I don't know. Do I think he will? Yes, I do, because the Bills are awesome, and I love them.
Could.
No, I know. I think it's possible that he's really good at it. Like, he was sort of a rising star. And then Carolina, you just got Matt Rhule shrapnel all over him in Carolina, came here, sort of bided his time and got elevated. And I know they ran it more than we'd like them to run it, but maybe he's going to be good at scheming guys open and using motion and all the things that we are, I think, look for as clues. Is this guy on top of it?
This is so interesting. What do we always try to do? I'm thinking of Dable for this. You look at their career. Someone new shows up. New offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, new anybody. Sean McDermott, new anybody. How do you decide? This is so good. I was bragging to Bulldog half an hour ago, like, oh, I just had a good idea. This is so much better than my idea. Well, I still want to say it, but this is way better.
Well, this is great. I work here, so it's good.
No, I mean, this is great. Some new person gets hired by the Bills. How do you decide whether to believe in it? Not just in the way you just sort of mocked me for, which is like, oh, go Bills. No, like if you really cared about being right, how would you decide about whether, you know, how you felt? What's the first thing you would do? The first thing I would do is look at their career history, look at their resume.
Sure. Yeah.
And is there anyone more to the extremes than Joe Brady that you can imagine? He was the offensive coordinator at LSU, Burrow, Jefferson, Chase, CEH. Like, how much better can you do than that collection of talent for skill position players?
Yeah, you can argue about rankings and everything. Might be the two best receivers in the NFL right now. And
that's right.
One of the best quarterbacks. I mean, I don't think Burrow is Mahomes or Allen, but he's excellent. And
well, who was the Alabama? Well, maybe that was like Hurts or Tua or somebody, but still, right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, this is college football.
Yeah.
If he had been in the NFL with those players, it probably looks good.
I would bet it would, yeah.
Burrow, Jefferson, Chase, CEH got a first round pick out of it.
Sure.
You know,
whatever.
Say what you want.
Yeah.
So. What would you think, just on the surface, of any offensive coordinator that ran that offense? They're amazing.
Sure, or I think I could probably make that work.
Well,
you know,
let's just say, like, I don't know, like we could get the film out, but based on the results,
right.
The point is, based on the results,
they smashed.
Oh, there's no question that the guy would get an NFL opportunity out of that, and he did, and he gets Carolina. Which, how much worse could that have gone?
It would be hard to fathom it going much worse than it did.
So you try to make a call on a new coordinator, and you look at this guy, and it was the best college offense of all time and the worst NFL offense of all time, you know, ish, right? That makes it hard.
It does.
Dable for me was, okay, well, you're the same. I always want to give the benefit of the doubt new hire. I mean, name anybody in Bills history since I've been working here. Like, you know, we had the guys from Chicago when we were at the Super Bowl the one year making fun of Buffalo because they'd hired Geron. That might have happened the week of the Super Bowl. And you know what? Like, I don't want to make fun of it. He was a coach of the year in the NFL. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe it works. Anything can work, right? That's our joke in fantasies. Anything can work. Oh, you want to draft five tight ends? Anything can work. So you want to give some respect to it. McDermott, to me, was like not a great idea. I thought he was hired because he was a wrestler, and Terry Pegula liked that he was a wrestler. You know, like sort of a toughness element that was missing with Rex Ryan. Fine. Defense, okay. Like all of it to me was sort of not exciting at all. How's it gone?
Pretty damn good. Yeah.
Going into year eight, seven seasons, six playoffs. So who knows?
Right.
Brady is so interesting for this and maybe tough. Dable, I started to say, had my problem with it was, you know, sure, maybe anything can work, but he'd never run like a actual good offense. He was an assistant in New England, right?
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks coach even maybe?
I don't know. Brady? I don't remember. He might have had a few different titles.
He was not the offensive coordinator, but he was an assistant. He was on the staff in New England when they were always good. Alabama, but nowhere here is like this guy ran a good offense.
Right, there was Cleveland and Brady Quinn maybe or like that.
Right.
Yeah, I remember the you know, when we were talking about that when he got here, it's like, well, look at who he had to work with. He never really had a guy like a stud at college maybe, but he wasn't in charge in New England. Obviously Tom Brady was there. But when he was in charge, he had sort of scrap heap or guys that ended up being kind of punchline bust joke type guys. So you definitely need, you know, you don't need probably what Joe Brady had at LSU, but you got to have a guy that can unlock it all for you, I think. That is vital. Like, any coordinator is not going to get anywhere if his quarterback play is just garbage. And I would say the list of guys that played under it. Now, you can blame Dave, like, this is not to ignore that he should be able to help that person, that player, that quarterback, and improve on their flaws and find their strengths. But again, the guys really, there's not a guy on there that I can think of. I don't remember the list by heart, but I just remember looking at it going like, these guys were all pretty bad players, it turned out. And so however much you want to pin that on Daboll, I just thought, no, clean slate. He's going to have a different guy here and maybe he can work. And holy cow, did it work.
I thought, I mean, this is sort of flattering myself, I guess, on some level, but I thought what attributed to a lot of his success was simply running more motion and play action. Like, just simply do that. The stuff that Warren Sharp will tell you to do that is usually provably right. Why can't any NFL coordinator just do that? Run play action on every play. Run motion on every play. Cheat code stuff. And the Bills did that under him. I don't know. Dable, I'm sure, knows a lot about football. He might have also been online and could figure out that there was like sort of
a movement,
an advantage there that nobody even, you know, I remember talking to Micah Hyde about, hey, do you know that play action is just like sort of automatically good for the offense? Like, what, you know, did you ever look at that? And he's like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm just, no. But it doesn't even matter if there's no establishing the run. It's all just a myth. It's all just sort of NFL booth talk from the 80s. Doesn't really matter if you've established anything. If you fake the handoff, the pass play has a better chance of working, simply. So Dable, I think, knew that, but he had just never proven, established, if you will, that he was somebody you could trust on that level. And it turned out that he was. And I don't know. Brady, for me, is very much up in the air.
Yeah, I'm not saying different. I'm saying
hopefully.
Could he be good? You know, maybe he's really good at this.
But do you think, what is your level of confidence? I think it's very much up in the air. I don't like what they turned into last year.
I would flip a coin on it, is what I would say. So I don't, you know, but I just wanted to consider, you know, you asked me what I'm thinking about. That literally was what I was thinking about driving down Maple Road. Like, maybe Joe Brady's good at this. I don't know. It's the talking point. I don't know if he is. I just know that there was like a rising star element to his career that, again, got, you know, and he should bear some responsibility for it. I mean, it was a mess where he was in Carolina, and he sort of had to fall back and start over again. And here he is in a pretty prime spot. I mean, we've talked a lot about how the credit that'll get doled out around here, and he's been a part of that. Like, if this hums with him at the helm, I mean, I don't know, he could be gone in a year. Like, if they rock on offense, he'll fly right up the charts, because just like McDermott will be a higher level candidate for Coach of the Year, and Josh Allen will be a higher level candidate for MVP, all the storylines here are this guy left, that guy left, you traded this guy, you couldn't afford that guy, you're starting over, where's the number one, alpha, all that stuff. And if this offense somehow, I'm not telling you it's going to happen, but if it doesn't miss a beat, however it looks, whether they're running 5% more often and they're playing 12 personnel more or whatever, but if the results are there, he'll become a head coach like that.
Yeah, especially because he's young.
And I think, to me, that's in the window. I don't know, like, it's... You know, he could also be a disaster. They're going to miss all these personnel that they've lost and changed out, and it just isn't going to be the same. And he'll probably get caught up in that, just like the positive would land on him, the negative will too. But I was thinking about him on the way in. Not sure why. It's not like Chris and Steve were talking about it directly or anything. It just popped into my head. Like, hey, that's an important new guy that we don't have a full book on. We got a partial book from last year, but, you know, we all know you couldn't really do what you wanted to do. You were sort of midstream trying to just adapt.
So. Sue O'Neill was talking about him, actually, on my drive-in.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's funny that you say all this. 2020 Panthers, then 21. Who were his quarterbacks with the Panthers, by the way? Just a little trivia.
Is there a Teddy Bridgewater in there?
There is. And then the next year, it's Darnold.
Darnold, oh boy.
And then Newton.
Okay.
Newton is back in Carolina in 21.
That happened?
Yep.
Wow.
That would be really cool if you knew Joe Brady, who might be younger than Cam Newton. If you knew Joe Brady, wouldn't you love to just sit with him, have a beer, and talk about what that year was like? Holy cow. I mean, 21 Panthers. Newton, who was already a star there, former MVP, goes to New England. That doesn't work. Goes back to Carolina. They lose every game he plays. And I just wonder what the dynamics were like. I think Newton, Brady is 34. Would Newton be older than that?
I bet he is.
He has to be. 35. Bam.
Nailed it.
That's a great omen right there.
Yeah.
So, the vibes now, whether it's Joe Brady or anything else, everything else, are what? Let's put a number on it. Scale of 1 to 10. How about this? How do you feel about the Bills' season ahead right now versus how you remember feeling a year ago? I looked up a couple of show sheets from last year, because I don't remember a specific thing, except for that one preseason game in Pittsburgh, actually, that went terribly. Wasn't that last year?
Yeah.
That I was thinking about. We were talking about Dalton Kincaid a lot. We were talking about Diggs, right, off the minicamp stuff just him. But he was there, and I wanted to think everything was fine, and I don't know, maybe it wasn't, played.
They did all their handshakes and everything. It looked
they did
fine.
All the handshakes, and he had a great first month.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
But he had a great first four or five games.
Yeah.
Do you think you feel worse than last year?
Yes. Yeah, I don't think that. I didn't even hesitate there. Yeah, yes, I absolutely do. Last year, I think I still largely think this. I think how the 22 season ended had a lot to do with the emotional wreckage of the DeMar Hamlin situation. I just think a lot of guys were just broken down emotionally in a way that it'd be very hard to get their very best. When it really mattered in playoff time and all that, they struggled to beat Miami with Skylar Thompson, and then got manhandled by the Bengals. And I remember feeling like they're gonna be fine. They're gonna clear all that. They still got, you know, most of the same dudes, and let's go. And so I was thinking about the one seed and the whole thing last year. And this year, I mean, we haven't talked about it in a few weeks now, but the one seed is not something I am thinking about at all. I mean, I know they're not eliminated from contention to be the best team in the conference, but it's just not what is on my mind as I'm thinking about the season and the standings and the race and the whole thing. There's an indicator. I mean, that'll just tell you. I don't think they're going to win 13 games and be the one seed. I feel like 11 is probably their ceiling with their schedule, with their roster, like all of it. So last year I did not have a limit at all, really, on what I thought they could do. I thought they could be the best team in the league. Because I thought a lot of whatever the hand-wringing about the Bengal game looked like and how it ended, like, that's all just going to be left on the side of the road. They still weren't impacted by it, but I think in the weeks right after it, it's understandable to me that they weren't entirely at their best. So come back and you're better than ever.
Man, it's tough. It's interesting because it's tough for me to pinpoint what I was feeling 1 year ago. We've talked all the time. This is fascinating to me over the last 4 or 5 years, just how more critical any average person would be about them than they were. Like there's a bell curve. 3 years ago, maybe 21, maybe was a peak where 20 happened and like 21, everything's great. 13 seconds, 22, everything's probably great. But that stupid game,
yep.
Like that window, whatever that is, like 18 months, 20 into 21 into 22 is like, that's the Super Bowl favorite Bills, right? So before that, they haven't proven anything. Then you come up the bell curve and like, okay, this is it. And now, I don't know how far down it is. It would vary, you know, fan to fan, but it's some distance down. I can't pinpoint what last year, August 21st, was about. Edmonds had left.
Sure, there was a lot of who's going to be the linebackers. You know, who's going to replace Edmonds?
Von Miller is coming off a knee injury, but what is there really to say about that? You just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's gone that we think is meaningful this year was here. Diggs, Davis, White, Hyde, Poyer,
Morse.
I always put him last. Just happens that way. We're talking about Kincaid's role. We're talking about Edmonds a little bit. We're talking about, I don't know,
James Cook, maybe? Like, he was taking over the number one running back job.
Sure.
So that was probably...
But so what?
Yeah, right.
That wouldn't have been anything to me.
Not a meter mover, really.
Don't care. Never did. Don't now. Like, whatever. But whoever running back...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
You want, fine. Just don't fumble. Wow, yeah. It does seem like it should be like common that people are less optimistic. That's how I'd want to put that, than a year ago. It's the names who left.
It's the names who left, and it's also the fatigue of them right. not getting there.
Right.
I think that would be there. Even if, I mean, in what world does nobody change over on a football team? But, you know, if, I don't know, two or three of the however many names you ticked off there, six names, like half of those dudes hadn't left, right? If Hyde were still here, but Poyer left, or vice versa, and Morris was still here, and Davis were still here, say. That's even slight. I think if all of them were here, there still would be, like, they're never going to do it. They're never going to do it. And that still, I think, begins at 13 seconds. Because that happened, it just is there, and so that's baked in. So they could have, you know, maybe if they had changed out, like if they traded for Ayuk after that divested themselves of Diggs, then maybe that's different. But if the same people are all still here in the same roles with similar, you know, Joe Brady instead of Ken Dorsey, but everyone's still here, I think fans would still kind of be like, yeah, I kind of like them. Like that. Instead of like, whoa, go Bills.
You could say the change is good. I mean, they got younger.
Yeah.
If they didn't have safety injuries, maybe if you didn't have a Samuel injury too, then you could lean into that. It's interesting. Do you remember how you felt a year ago? And how does that compare with right now? What are the vibes like for you? 1 to 10 optimism levels for the Bills this season. Sal Capaccio, Paul Hamilton today. There is one thing that I'm remembering now that's the same for me as last year. Why my optimism would have been at least somewhat muted. There is one thing that I have not thought of until just this second that is the same as last year, as we've been talking here. We'll get to that. Would love to hear from you at 803-0550. Vibes this year versus last overall. We'll talk to Sal at 4. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's different this year because of some of what you mentioned, right, with those players that were so instrumental in helping us get this to where it is, and it's hard to see those players move on to either other teams or retire in different ways, and, you know, they're moving on to other chapters, new chapters for themselves and their families, and I'll forever be indebted to those names that you mentioned.
If you missed Sean McDermott with us, Mike Shope and the Bulldog, yesterday, do you know what to do? You could just sidle up to someone at a red light and ask them to recite the entire conversation, but that's like 20 minutes, and how long is the longest red light? You can go to the Audacy app, AUDACY, or WGR550.com. I don't know. Is it there?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. That's what you should do. You should find out. At least find out. We liked it.
I really enjoyed it. Sure. Yes.
Sure.
It was not really.
I mean, you did. You did. No, so like, did I.
We said it all yesterday, just to restate it at least once here. It's not all, you know, when we used to visit with him regularly, it was always about why did you punt on 4th and 2 or whatever. You know, it was about the game that just happened and then the next game, and it was usually going to be quick. And yesterday was the first time I can remember. We did talk to him when he first got here, because I remember him talking about Brandon Bean quizzing him about fourth down game situations and practicing. And I remember referencing that in weeks after that, not with him, but with you, about him, you know, working at, you know, that sort of stuff, game management stuff. But it was the first time in a very long time that we had a chance to just, you know, talk to him about, I don't want to say about life, but, you know, when you're talking to an NFL head coach in the season, you're not going to ask him about, like, so 8 years in, man, did you think you'd make it this far? You know, that kind of stuff. So that, I enjoyed that part of it a lot.
Yep. Perspective. So, right, today we'll have Sal and Paul Hamilton, who's been around the Bills, and why not get a taste of hockey, too, whatever that might be. We've had some offer sheets this week.
For August, there's been stuff. I mean, the offer sheets, and there were, you know, trades here and there, and, yeah, like Patrick Laine, yeah, there's been stuff.
Paul will probably want to talk Yankees. Listen, I mean, you already know this. I got here today, 1:45, whatever it was. Turned on, the Orioles and the Mets are playing. So I thought, you know what? It's kind of weirdly quiet in here. Let me just put the ball game on. SNY. And I'm telling you, I was not thinking about this. It is maybe once a month, maybe, when I'll put a Major League Baseball game on. First thing I thought of, how stupid the uniforms look.
Yeah.
The letters, I mean, it's every time.
Yeah.
The letters on the back of the jerseys are so small that they just look like the cheapest knockoff jerseys you'd ever see. It's amazing they spell Orioles right on the front for how bad the names look. And it had been long enough. Oh, there's one other part to this. It had been long enough since I'd turned on a game that I was just not thinking about this at all. You know, I'm 52. I've watched baseball for 40 years. I turn on the game like, what? Oh, right. That's right. This year, the uniforms were made by, you know, kids.
Well, at least
sorry,
we got
kids.
The benefit of the Orioles wearing their road gray pants but a black jersey top, because if they had their regular matching gray tops, they wouldn't be matching because they'd be sweating through them and they'd be darker than the pants.
Right. Actually,
which happens every game.
I'm seeing online that those are the gray jerseys, but it's really hot. So they look black. Just what an impossible thing that baseball.
Yeah.
What the one other thing is, the other night, and I was going to come up with a reason for this, but I won't. I watched the last few innings of the 86 World Series.
I'm familiar. Yeah.
I watched the end of Game 6, which is the best, most exciting, amazing inning in baseball history. And then the last three, from 3-0 down, so bottom six to the end of Game 7.
Okay.
With Scully and Garagiola, both amazing. Just every you're a Red Sox guy, I know, but every aspect of it is wonderful.
Yeah.
And, you know, then those jerseys look right. Boston didn't have to worry because there were no names on the backs of the Boston road jersey or home, because they knew what they were doing. The backs of the Boston Red Sox jerseys had no names. That's one way to avoid this debacle, is to not have Yankees at home.
Sure.
No name on the back. He doesn't look stupid every time you turn the game on.
Yeah.
Paul will want to talk about this.
Yeah. I don't want to turn this into a whole conversation, but I miss references to the 86 World Series upsetting me.
Well, what do you want to know?
It just doesn't.
What can I do for you?
It just doesn't. Nothing. The Red Sox won.
It can't bother you?
It really does not bother me. They won four World Series from like 2004 to 2018. Like, I'm all set over here.
I know,
here.
But you were already like an adult.
I know, but it changed me in what it just doesn't. I would be pretending to be aggravated about it. Like, I know it's still one of the stupidest things that's ever happened in sports. But it doesn't hurt me anymore. It just is not under my skin in a real way after they won.
If the Bills won the Super Bowl this year, nothing about the 90s losses would mean anything?
I really...
Would hurt?
I kind of doubt it. But the thing with the Red Sox is it wasn't just the one. Like, they won, and they won 3 years later, and then a few years after that, and it just sort of got... you know, I don't want to say it got boring. It was great that they won four World Series, but it just didn't, I don't know.
What happened to people that believed the Red Sox were cursed after they won? Did they just never think about it again? Or did they question everything they ever knew?
I don't know. I don't know. I never had enough respect for all that to know whether or not there is something that a person like that might believe undid the curse. Like, you know, if something happened,
right. That's
during,
what you would do.
During 04, like, find a reason, you know, find a thing that swung it or something. I have no idea if that exists out there somewhere on Reddit. It probably does.
It has to.
I refuse to go looking for it. I am not.
That's what you would do.
I'm just not going in there.
If you really believed in magic being the reason the Red Sox didn't win World Series championships, then you would have to come up with a reason why magic was the reason they were able to undo that.
Right. Like my friend's cousin told me Bucky Dent tore his ACL the day of game 4 of the ALCS when the Red Sox were down 3-0, and then they magically turned it around.
You made that up, right?
Yeah, I totally made that
up.
But like that's something like that. I don't know, something more substantive than Bucky Dent, but I mean he's a very important figure in the history of the Red Sox not winning.
You'd make it anything.
Sure.
Whatever it had to be, you'd make it that.
Exactly. Yeah.
They won or they lost game 3 19-8. In 2004 to the Yankees. So you just turn that dash sideways. There it is, 19-18. That must be why.
Oh.
Because they were, had they lost, do you think they'd lost a single game 19-8?
That's probably not even just on message boards. There's probably ESPN.com stories about that.
There you are
from 2004, I'll bet. Like, that probably was a thing. Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah, I agree. You definitely have that score right from game 3.
Oh yeah.
19-8. I don't
19-8.
I remember they got killed. I
do
just
you
don't
think
remember.
They lost a single game between the 1918 World Series and 2004 by the score of 19-8. It's possible that they did not.
Sure it is.
It's possible that they did not play a single game that ended in that score 19-8. That must be it.
That's
all right,
it, man.
Well, now I believe in it again.
Forget about this.
Now I'm back.
Forget about this Bucky Dent knee ligament stuff.
Here was the point I was going to make at the end of the last segment about, so this year, Bills vibes versus last year. What's different? Is it worse? Whatever it is, you know, you're feeling or we're thinking about. We were talking earlier about what was on our minds last year, and it's sort of hard to remember. But the last 5 years, of course, it's been so good, and we're generally pretty positive. The betting odds reflect that going into seasons. There's one thing I don't remember, like, of course, exactly what I was saying a year ago about the Bills' chances. There's one thing about how I would have felt a year ago versus now that's identical.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, sure. Yep.
Last year, I thought that for the Jets was absolutely worth doing. And everything that gets said about Rodgers, he's probably still pretty good. He's definitely way better than what they had.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of good players. So watch out. And it's ironic that the Bills lose that opener, even though he barely plays. You know, that just was bad.
Yeah.
But this year, I feel the same way. I feel just as probably, again, I'm just saying like how I remember feeling, but just as optimistic for them as I was a year ago. He goes down in that game. The Bills lose it, but the Jets are no threat. You know, their quarterback play was so bad because it had to be because Rodgers wouldn't have allowed it to be possible to get somebody good in there once he got hurt. And I mean that. I think that that's probably true. This year, you know, I'm not worried about his leg. We've talked about this a lot.
Yeah, I definitely am. I mean, I think at his age, that is a major injury and a major concern. And I would, if he were the Bills quarterback, like if our lives had like unfolded in such a way that in the spring of 2023, we still didn't have an answer, and we were just the Jets. What prompted the Jets to do this? Like we've tried signing guys, we've tried drafting and developing guys, we've drafted high, we've drafted low, everything you could possibly do. Okay, hey, a super famous guy wants to, you know, he wants to get out of his place and he would like to come to your team. For some reason, Aaron Rodgers, the symmetry between small markets like Green Bay and Buffalo, like he wants to make that work and that's his preferred destination. So we're going to do that. The dude tears his Achilles in the first year. I would be terrified of him going into this year. I would feel really nervous and uneasy about it just because of the, just, I don't know, physiological age. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. And I would expect that through the spring and summer, they are never really pushing him to run and play all out because you want him to be ready for the season. I really honestly think there, you know, some chance, well, there's some chance of almost anything happening, but when he really has to go and decides to go, I mean, that's a moment. That's going to be a moment for Jets fans, and that's a moment for football fans who love him or hate him, because I think it's possible he's not really gone on that thing yet, and playing at game speed, what does everybody say? I just think it's...
Why does he ever have to run?
It's an integral part of his game, running. I'm not talking about running like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, but getting out of there, rolling out, like moving around, it's key to his game. Like he's not just step back and drop, you know.
Footwork.
Throw it, you
feet,
know.
You know, feet, right. Like he'll...
Moving around in the pocket even. I don't take for granted at all that is a given, that he's just going to be able to do everything he's always done. And... So that's really the walking off point for me not being behind the Jets at all.
I don't think it's a given, but I would predict that he's good enough to elevate them to like whatever level. He doesn't have to be great, but I guess this is where I say I hope I'm wrong.
Sure.
Coming up at 4, Sal Capaccio, Mike Shope and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR. Welcome back, Sal. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, mentioned how we were watching Orioles-Mets today in here. Game's now over. The Mets take it 4-3 on a walk-off home run in the ninth by Jesse Winker, Buffalo's own. Been around, was with the Nationals beginning of the season, now with the Mets, and had to be a great moment for him. He took all his clothes off before he even got to first base. He was so excited. He's stripping off the elbow pad and the shin guard.
He stopped on the way from when he you know, hit the ball, watched it, started running, and then stopped at the Met dugout and like did a whole thing and then started going and, yeah, peeling layers off.
Peeling the layers. Winker, among the many one-timers, one-time guests, mm-hmm. of our show. I thought of a guy last night who might be, well, he's one of the top one-timers. We haven't talked about him in a while.
Aaron Neville.
Well, it's true that he would both be one of the top one-timers and that we have not talked about him in a while. But I was actually thinking of Don Cherry.
Oh, my. I remember exactly where we were.
Casino.
I think, right, yeah. The front, like by a fountain or something.
Not the Falls View.
Right, the Casino Niagara.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Like Don Cherry.
Remember a lot of glass, I remember. Just like a big room with a lot of windows and stuff is how I remember it, yeah. What the hell were we doing there again?
I don't know. Is he the number one-timer? Someone who's been on the show exactly once? Johnny Bench, Reggie Jackson.
I like both of those more than Don
really?
Cherry.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I you know, loved Don Cherry, and it was fun talking to him, but I, you know, don't love him as
Tim
much
Brown.
Anymore, but
Tim Brown.
Tim Brown, really? That's,
yep.
Is it one of the assembly line Super Bowl ones, or like was that a...
Nope.
Was that a
he had a book.
Okay.
It's probably still sitting in here.
Wasn't Funyuns or something, or
no,
pork rinds?
It was not. It was not.
Heart medication.
Well, Montana's not a one-timer because he's been on at least three times that I can remember.
Right.
Jack Youngblood was more than once. Tim Brown was only once.
Jack Youngblood was more than once because it definitely includes the time that he was in Joe D's car.
Yep.
We're talking to Joe DeLaMalier, and he's driving to some event, and Jack Youngblood was in his car. That was awesome.
Or, yeah, it might have even been his car.
Whatever. They were driving together somewhere. Right. And
that's right. Yeah. Tim Brown had a book, probably still in here, right? Why wouldn't it be?
Mm. Good. Yeah, I don't know.
Rick Barry.
Dominique Wilkins.
Rick Barry's son was one of the stars of the 3-on-3 USA Olympic team.
Okay.
And he did shoot his free throws underhand.
Well, that's a nice tribute.
I think that's just how they do it in that family.
Yeah.
I don't think this is for dad. I think this is like, this is my best way of making this foul shot. Pretty sure.
I protested the 3-on-3, so I didn't watch enough of it to right. know whether
you
he shot them all that
real
way.
Basketball.
I want the I don't like the beach volleyball, and I don't like the 3-on-3 basketball.
You want real volleyball?
Get out of here.
Real, very old school. Very get off my lawn.
Yeah.
You know, who doesn't enjoy beach volleyball? Really, like, you know, you're not taking it seriously. It's just like fun to watch. It looks really hard. Looks really like super
sure.
tough to do well.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's pretty. You got the Eiffel Tower, by the way, right there in the background. Eiffel Tower Stadium, not enough for you. Did not meet the cut for Bulldog.
Doesn't work.
Couldn't
for me
be bothered with it.
Nope.
Real volleyball. Real volleyball was also amazing at the Olympics.
Indeed. Waseneca, Matt Anderson. Fourth time in the Olympics for him.
How do they ever sort of do any of that? The guys with the big serve, that looks incredible.
Yeah.
The digs, you know, to be that good. The blocks, the spikes.
That seems really hard. Yeah.
All of it just seems too hard.
Yeah.
But it's apparently there are people in the country, on the planet, who are actually good at it, can execute all that stuff. That's what it looked like. Sal coming up at 4. Today's Bills practice and latest news with us, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.